For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. One Virginia author says the college admissions bribery scandal reveals a widespread practice that may have even involved at least one university in Virginia. Governor Northam vetoes a bill that would have made it easier for non-residents to carry a concealed handgun. And the North Carolina fire chief who died after a skiing accident at Wintergreen is returned home as 5th District Congressman Denver Riggleman seeks ways to increase emergency access to the mountain. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 13th. The college admissions bribery scandal revealed on Tuesday may have rocked the education establishment, but one Richmond-based author says it's just another example of the wealthy gaming the system. WCVE's Haas Spencer has this report.
A pre-college YouTube by a noted Hollywood teen.
I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school.
That teen's parents were charged Tuesday. Here's Richmond author Jeff Thomas.
This bribery scandal should come as no surprise to anyone who understands how college admissions really work.
2 years ago, Thomas found a document that seemed to show favoritism for a child of a University of Virginia donor.
It's a simple and regrettable fact that wealthy parents routinely purchased prestigious admission slots for their underqualified children.
While UVA denied that, Thomas asked the federal prosecutor to investigate, and there's been no official action from that office. In Charlottesville, Haas Spencer, WMRA News.
Governor Ralph Northam has vetoed legislation that would make it easier for non-residents to get concealed handgun carry permits. The bill narrowly passed the GOP-controlled General Assembly, but Northam signed the veto on Tuesday. The bill would have required state police to issue a temporary permit 90 days after receiving an application, unless police determined the applicant was disqualified. Under current law, non-residents can apply for a 5-year concealed carry permit. Northam, a Democrat, is a strong advocate for stricter gun control laws. Republican supporters of the bill are unlikely to get enough votes in the General Assembly to override the governor's veto. Virginia's unemployment rate has held steady at 2.8% for 6 months now. Governor Ralph Northam's office announced Monday that the rate remained unchanged in January. According to the governor's office, Virginia has the 6th lowest seasonally adjusted unemployment rate in the country. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate in the U.S. in January was 4%. Virginia gained 23,700 jobs in January. The biggest increase was in leisure and hospitality services, which saw an increase of 7,000 jobs. The public sector grew by 500 jobs in Virginia. Emergency management officials will conduct Virginia's annual tornado drill next week. The drill will start at around 9:45 a.m. Tuesday with a test tornado warning sent by the National Weather Service to National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration weather radios, local radio stations, including WMRA. TV stations and cable outlets will broadcast the test message via the emergency alert system. Schools, businesses, and other participants should register for the drill with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Officials are urging residents to use the drill as an opportunity to test their tornado emergency procedures, discuss preparedness efforts, and know where to seek safe shelter when a tornado warning is issued. In 2018, last year, 31 confirmed tornadoes touched down in Virginia from January through November. A North Carolina fire chief received a fatal injury on Saturday while skiing at Wintergreen Resort in Nelson County. He was taken off life support and died at UVA Hospital on Monday. On Tuesday afternoon, his body was returned to North Carolina. WCVE's Haas Spencer reports, and note that you might hear some sirens in this report. Those sirens are on your radio or on your device that you're listening to, not outside.
24 firefighters stood at attention as the motorcade moving the body of Atlantic Beach, North Carolina Fire Chief Adam Snyder left Charlottesville. Honor Guard Commander Timmy Kersley.
It's just it's a part of the tradition and service to honor a fallen brother and make sure that he's not left alone, that the family's not left alone, and that we guide them all the way back home. We are a family. Doesn't matter whether they're from this state or another state.
Fire officials said they expect to see firefighters at every overpass along the route. In Charlottesville, Haas Spencer, WMRA News.
Meanwhile, Virginia's 5th District Congressman is looking for ways to increase safety on Wintergreen Mountain. WVIR-TV reports that Denver Riggleman met with the National Park Service on Monday to discuss adding an entry and exit point to the mountain in case of emergency. A proposed emergency exit route that connects to the Blue Ridge Parkway would double the number of entrances and exits because the road would cut through about 450 feet of National Park Service land to the Blue Ridge Parkway. The project will require the Park Service to sign off on it. Riggleman says people who live on the mountaintop have been calling for added routes for a decade. Staff from the Park Service and Riggleman's office agreed to meet again sometime next month at Wintergreen to continue discussing the project. And speaking of Congressman Riggleman, he and 10th District Representative Jennifer Wexton, both first-time members of Congress, crossed the aisle in a demonstration of bipartisan support for a bill to strengthen the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
Republican Denver Riggleman, Virginia's 5th, and Democrat Jennifer Wexton, Virginia's 10th, made it look easy.
I rise in support of H.R. 1414, the FinCEN Improvement Act. Bipartisan legislation I introduce with my financial services colleague and fellow Virginian, Congressman Denver Riggleman.
I would like to thank my colleague and fellow member from the Commonwealth, Jennifer Wexton, for her work on this legislation.
It was her bill that strengthens FinCEN's role in domestic terrorism, law enforcement partnerships, and a new threat, cryptocurrency.
Many of these technologies did not exist when previous laws and regulations were written.
It is FinCEN's mission to cut the head off the snake and combat illicit financing of these activities.
The bill passed the House by unanimous consent. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Virginia sales taxes are still stuck in the last century, but state laws are about to go back to the future. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Wayfair, you've got just what Virginia needs, $155 million in new sales tax revenues. The Supreme Court decision last year in South Dakota versus Wayfair opened the floodgates to states requiring online retailers like Amazon to collect Virginia sales tax. But what about the online middleman, eBay lobbyist Ross Grogg?
We do not own any goods. We do not sell any goods. We do not warehouse any goods. We purely facilitate a transaction between a small business seller and a purchaser. And while we are dealing with this in 50 states, we want to make sure we get it right.
Getting it right means delay. After an intense lobbying effort, so-called marketplace facilitators got a 90-day delay, which will end up costing Virginia about $42 million in lost revenue. Chris Wattica at the Commonwealth Institute says Governor Ralph Northam has the power to change that.
It would be good for the governor to possibly amend it, to remove that from the legislation, or clarify it as part of a budget amendment.
So will the governor amend the bill and force eBay and other marketplace facilitators like Etsy to start collecting sales taxes at the beginning of the fiscal year? So far, that's an open question. A spokeswoman for the governor says he's currently in the process of reviewing the legislation. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, many school districts across the country remain segregated by race. Nationally, non-white school districts get $23 billion less in funding than white districts do. But Virginia actually reverses that trend. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
According to a new analysis of data, Virginia districts that serve mostly black students actually spend more per pupil than districts that serve mostly white students. The Commonwealth is one of just a handful of states where that's true. Matt Richmond is with EdBuild, an organization that studies school funding and released this latest report.
It's somewhat challenging to put together a simple narrative for Virginia. It doesn't necessarily follow easy and simple trends.
One possible reason Virginia looks different than the rest of the country could be because the state has relatively large county-based school districts. That's actually one of EdBuild's policy suggestions.
The idea here is that you just want to get as many different types of communities of various levels of wealth as possible in one administrative unit, because that allows you to smooth out the discrepancies in the wealth across the different communities.
In Virginia, the students who are actually most disadvantaged by funding are in high poverty districts that serve primarily white populations. Think rural Southwest Virginia. I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.